Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. In our next segment, we talk with Ken Hall, Chairman of the Board for Missouri River Resources.
Are the people within the tribe accepting this, or is there any resistance for this type of empowerment?
Well, I think, you're always going to have a few mm-hmm. that resist. And I think we're in a day now, as everybody understands, that we're in the era of technology. Technology was the game changer for the Bakken. Like everybody understands that. And now we know technology improves as the years go by. And I think the word is becoming more efficient. That's kind of been, with this downturn, as it gives everybody a chance to get more efficient at what we do. So back to your question, I think there's always going to be resistance. But if they can see the big picture and look at the economics of it, then I think they would buy in more. And if they know that the technology is probably the safest it's ever been, and I think they can buy into what we're doing here.
How about the regulation side? I believe when I talked to David Williams at one time, a permit took months and months and months, whereas, a private landowner in North Dakota could get one in 2 days, 3 days. Talk to me about the working relationship with permits and regulations.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because that was one of the same questions that young lady had there. And early on, when the leasing happened, 06, 07, like you said, if you're off the reservation and you're a private owner, it took you 4 steps from signing a lease to getting your first royalty check. Okay, now you step on the reservation with all the federal regulations that are in place. 49-step process, because it's a cumbersome process. You have all these federal agencies that have to be a part of that process, and they have 3 different routing numbers, and it's very complicated, and not everybody understood that, and therefore a donut hole was created. When you would drive at night and you could oversee the landscape, there was all these flares outside the reservation, mm-hmm. and it was completely dark on the reservation. That there was a donut hole. All the activity was around, but nothing going on. Because of the regulations and because of the cumbersome process, nobody actually knew what that process entailed. But the one, and then of course, we had to try to streamline the whole process. From a land and mineral owner's perspective, which I am as well, we had an association early on where we lobbied and also were advocates on behalf of the land and mineral owner, where we tried to create a one-stop shop. And it's still being developed to this day, a one-stop shop service center. And we believe that's could be in Denver, where all tribes can utilize it when it comes to leasing and right-of-ways, to streamline the whole process. And so that's still in the works. And also, but we got a little better at it as far as timelines and trying to become more efficient, back to that word again.
How about opportunity? You mentioned that word earlier. Are you seeing any spin-off businesses start up within the reservation with whether it's a short-haul trucker, long-haul trucker, or maybe just a guy with a pizza shop? I don't know. Are you seeing any sort of entrepreneurship happening?
Oh, yeah, definitely. The opportunities are tremendous. I think before the boom, we probably had a handful of Native American businesses, contractors, today I think I want to say there's well over 250.
Wow.
That have their own business. If it's oil field services, if it's roustabout, if it's trucking, so it's been tremendous opportunity for those folks. And then we created also when I got in office 3.5 years ago now, what they call community development corporations. They have their own charter, their own mandate from the Tribal Business Council, their own bylaws, appointed boards, and they work on housing projects. They also work on businesses on like Main Street, like a coffee shop, which is opening, a hair salon, a flower shop. Those type of businesses are opening on Main Street as we speak. So, yes, the spinoffs have been tremendous and have been really an opportune time for if you're an entrepreneur and wanting to get into business. Yes.
Final thoughts. What do you want people to know about the three affiliated tribes and what you guys are trying to accomplish?
Well, I think for starters, the state of North Dakota and also the industry have to realize that we're big players when you look at the Bakken. There was an article a few weeks ago that two-thirds of the whole Bakken is in western North Dakota. That's us. And when you talk about the core area, you heard about the core area, that's us again. Going forward, we're very optimistic because of the core area we're in, the opportunities that are presented to us, the being able to capitalize on this opportunity. Want to go forward with a great amount of optimism because we're only probably 25% into the development as a nation. Mm-hmm. And if you look at dollar amount, before the Bakken, we were $120 million in debt as a tribe.
Not anymore.
Fast forward to today, we're debt-free as a nation. We have all these multi-million dollar projects that are happening, and we have trust funds established. That's some things to get excited about.
Mm-hmm. That's empowerment.
That's empowerment. It You're absolutely right.
Yeah. Wow. Well, thank you.
Yeah. To listen to the full-length interview with Ken Hall, Chairman of the Board for Missouri River Resources, or to listen to other Building the Bakken features, visit buildingthebakken.com. That's buildingthebakken.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network.
My name is Otis, and I am the host of the Kids and Capitalism KidCast. Let me tell you about one of our sponsors. Hatch Realty is in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate. Call Eric Hatch or anyone on the Hatch Realty team with any real estate question. They want to be a resource and connection for you. That's Hatch Realty, 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572. Hatch Realty in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate. Hatch Realty, tell them Otis sent you.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. MBI Energy Services, the cutting edge in oil field safety solutions. Learn more at MBIEnergyServices.com.
Hey folks, I'm multimedia journalist Jason Spies and the host of Building the Bakken Radio and Coffee and Capitalism. Traveling across the Rocky Mountain region and the upper Midwest has introduced me to many new people, landed me in exciting places, and created lifelong connections. And there's one place I want to tell you about today, and that's the Lodge at Deadwood. It is without a doubt my favorite place to stay in the Black Hills. In fact, not only is it my favorite, it's pretty much everybody else's. They're a three-time recipient of the best hotel, best casino, and best overall restaurant in the Black Hills. So if you're planning a conference, maybe a weekend getaway, a wedding, whatever it might be, I truly invite you to check out the Lodge at Deadwood and find out why they're consistently voted the best hotel, the best casino, and the best restaurant, Now listen, if I didn't believe that the lodge at Deadwood was the best place to stay in the Black Hills, I wouldn't be doing this testimonial across our media network, which spans 5 states and 30 plus radio stations. And I feel very confident when I say the lodge at Deadwood will exceed all your expectations. Check them out online today at deadwoodlodge.com. That's deadwoodlodge.com. Your name and who you're cooking for?
Shane Weber, cooking for Pioneer Wireline.
Last name Weber, so do you get those jokes often when you're cooking?
Not yet.
People ask if you got a Weber grill, yada yada. Okay, so well, what is it that you cooked today?
We cooked St. Louis style ribs.
Explain how the process works for, say, like the St. Louis style versus a regular style.
I think the baby back is closer to the loin. St. Louis style's farther down the rib. We trimmed them up, we got them dry rubbed, got them on the smoker. We're cooking ours with apple wood. Nothing fancy, a simple dry rub, and that's what we're going for today.
Do you do a marinade, or is it just a dry rub, you put it on? How long do you cook them for, and a temperature, without getting into the, you know, too much of the secrets?
Dry rub is all we did. We did not marinate or inject or anything like that. We gave them about 2 hours of smoke, and then we wrapped them up. And we did not put any sauce on or anything. We just gave them a dry rub and let the pork flavor come through, hopefully. So,
how long have you been cooking?
I started barbecuing probably in the last 10 years. So, about 10 years ago.
So, without, again, you don't have to reveal any of your secrets, but let's say somebody's starting out and, you know, a few tips or a few tricks that maybe you could give an aspiring barbecue pit master of any age.
I would say figure out your fire first. That's gonna be the most frustrating thing, is having charcoal and it doesn't start for you. Once you get it figured out, you get the fire going, it's all downhill from there.